All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. I hope that hockey stuff fired you up coming into the show. It did me, actually. Nice little short show tonight. Let's go 1 hour from right now. 1 hour from right now, 9:10 to 10:10. See if I can keep my word. All right, let's hop right to it. Department of Government Efficiency tweet. Elon Musk has got them all shaken. We got to just keep going over it until they slow down, which, by the way, they're never going to slow down. So we're going to be going over this stuff probably for the next 4 years every night. All right, U.S. taxpayer dollars were going to be spent. I've added this all to my cumulative list. I didn't bring my cumulative list because I can just use these now for the rest of the night. U.S. taxpayer dollars were going. This is all new. This is all stuff we just found out about in the last day or so. Taxpayer dollars were going to be spent on the following items, all which have been canceled. Brent's crying, Aaron's crying, I'm crying. All this stuff has been canceled. There's a couple thousand people right now, maybe not right now, but today on Capitol Hill, on the steps of the Capitol, on the steps of the Treasury, on the steps of where USAID used to be, wherever they are, just boo-hooing because all of this has been canceled. $10 million from Mozambique voluntary medical male circumcision. That's been canceled. And the Democratic Party's hill to die on is to keep it. $9.7 million for UC Berkeley to develop a cohort of Cambodian youth with enterprise-driven skills. This might not be a one-hour show. I'm getting all fired up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine being excited about keeping these things? I mean, if you happen to be somebody maybe on Christian Television Network, because you're probably pretty radical if you're watching on Rumble. But I'm just saying, maybe because we're on CTN right now and you stumbled upon it as you click through the channels. And you're a Democrat and you happen to be watching this podcast, just stick with it for 5 minutes. Because you're going to have to ask yourself, how on earth can I be a Democrat and fight to keep these things? $2.3 million for strengthening independent voices in Cambodia. Hey, Brett, does this ever affect you and your wife and your kids?
No.
Okay. Just wondering. Me neither. $32 million. For Prague Civil Society Center. What? $32 million of our dollars going to Prague. Let Prague build its own civil society center. This stuff fires me up about as much as the vaccine stuff does. $40 million. We keep going up the ladder here. $40 million for gender equality and women's empowerment hub. This has all been canceled, by the way, and I think Elon Musk has now crossed over $100 billion in cancellations now. Or he's giving myself a minor headache already. $14 million for improving public procurement in Serbia. Woo! Oh, I can't believe we're going to try to scrape by without this. $486 million to the Consortium for Elections and Political Process Strengthening, including $22 million for inclusive and participatory political process, all in freaking Moldova. $37 trillion in debt. And a lot of people are like, that doesn't really affect me. Yes, it does. That's why it's $10 for a carton of eggs. It's called hyperinflation. And another 20, while we're in Moldova, and $21 million for voter turnout in India. $29 million for strengthening political landscape in Bangladesh. $20 million for fiscal federalism in Nepal. How about we federalize our fiscal policy instead of spending $20 million to do it in Nepal? $19 million for biodiversity conversation in Nepal. What does that even mean? How do you spend $19 million for biodiversity conversations? What does that even mean? But it gets spent, and again, I know big picture. You just leave this up, guys. I know big picture that this money wasn't really spent on these things. I understand it wasn't all spent on these things. It gets sent to NGOs who are supposed to spend it on these things. But what they do is spend it on six-figure salaries for the Democrats that are running the NGOs. And then the NGOs hire other Democrats for consultancy, hire other Democrats for speaking fees for $500,000 a speech like Uranium One did for Billy Clinton. $1.5 million for voter confidence in Liberia. Woo, thank goodness we spent that. I don't know how we're going to make it without spending it, I should say. $14 million for social cohesion in Mali. What is what? Aaron, can you explain? Aaron, put yourself on. Can you explain to me what social cohesion even is?
No.
Okay, thank you. I just wonder if it's just me. So Aaron operates in a less emotional fashion than I do. So I'm just sometimes I'm wondering maybe I'm just clouded. 2.5 million for inclusive democracies in Southern Africa. 47 million. I love the biggins. For improving learning outcomes in Asia. What does that mean? So they all get higher SAT scores? $2 million to develop a sustainable recycling, models to increase socioeconomic cohesion among marginalized communities in Kosovo, Roma, Askali, and Egypt. My word. And Democrats are protesting to keep these things in our budget. Democrats are actually protesting to keep spending money on these things. All right, let's go to the next one. Concerned citizen video. I could spend all night on that one slide. I honestly don't know. Maybe I couldn't spend the whole night on it.
Yeah, you could.
Aaron says I can. I honestly, because it's hard for me to turn the page on that slide because I'd like to go over each one of those. I mean, it's just, oh my gosh. Concerned citizen video. Doge uncovered payments from USAID to legacy media. Tom, we already know this old story. No, more keeps getting uncovered. Play for me, Brent.
So this is insane. Remember how a couple days ago it was uncovered that USAID was spending tens of millions of dollars on allocations to news agencies? Doge just found another one, and it's worse. Reuters apparently received $9 million from the Department of Defense for the purpose of, let me make sure I get this correct, large-scale social deception and active social engineering defense. DARPA claims this money was spent for cyber defense purposes, but can I just ask an honest question? Why would a news organization need to receive almost $10 million for cyber defense purposes? Why? And which unbelievably stupid government bureaucrat actually put the line item large-scale social deception as the reason for your funding? You moron. The receipts are coming out and your girl is here for it. But yet another reason to stop listening to the outlets being funded by the government to deceive you.
So millions of dollars given to Reuters, which is not even an American country. It's, of course, it's a globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, propagandist rag is what it is. They're the ones telling you to mask, take 10 vaccinations, and that CO2 is a problem, which is the giant narrative to lead you into the agenda, which is leverage you into one world commerce system. So $10 million for cyber defense, but what the cyber defense is, quote, imagine this. And like she said in the video, concerned citizen video, by the way, again, what she said in the video is that somebody was actually dumb enough to put it down that the reason for this expenditure is large-scale social deception. It was actually put out that way. In other words, this is the very people who are trying to police misinformation are spending tens of million dollars on large-scale social deception. So the people who are trying to police deception are deceiving. All right, let's go to the next one. U.S. Senator John Fetterman tweet. Don't worry, this isn't a positive thing. For those of you that think that John Fetterman is turning MAGA, you aren't following him close enough. He is not. Just put out a very pro-trans in the military tweet. Watch it for yourself. It's on his page. I want to save billions of your money. Oh, Johnny does, but Johnny's never done it. This is part of my beef with the Republicans. They're all on board now. Where were you before?
Yeah.
Where were you in the last 4 years? Why Biden added $12 trillion to the debt? Speaking of that, Aaron, let's go with that clock real quick. Let's go with that clock real quick. I'll just fire everybody up. There it is. Here's that clock. There's those $107 billion they've eliminated from the debt so far. So we're about, here we are, right? Okay, there we go. Aaron, start the clock. All right, there we are. 172, 36 trillion, 493 million, a billion, 172 million. There went another 100,000. There went another 100,000 that we're spending. There went another 100,000 that we're spending. There went another 100,000 that we're spending. There went another one. There went another one, and $1 million. Aaron?
21 seconds.
21 seconds. It varies. It varies greatly between 21 and 22 seconds.
Yeah.
That we go through $1 million every 22 seconds. Think about that. How many 22 seconds are there in a day? Think about that. How many 22 seconds are there in a day? And that's what we're spending every 22 seconds right now, where you're spending $1 million, even under Donald Trump and with that Doge number. That's where we're at. Can you imagine what it would have been if Kamala was elected? We might not have to worry about it because we might have had a full economic collapse. All right, go back to the Fetterman one for me, Brent. All right, U.S. Senator John Fetterman, I want to say billions. Why haven't you done it, Johnny, of your money and make our government more efficient? Rummaging through our personal bleep is not that. Nobody is rummaging through anybody's personal bleep on any greater level than the feds are doing every single day anyway. I expect to be this fired up tonight. It's amazing. Suddenly, they're worried about a government entity rummaging through our personal data. You mean like the government entity called DOGE that was actually formed by Barack Hussein Obama and simply retrofitted by Donald Trump? That those government entities? Why does it suddenly bother John Fetterman that federal employees are looking into our personal bleep? And by the way, feel free to look at mine. Go ahead, feel free. I got nothing to hide. Go ahead, feel free to look at my Social Security. I don't care. Fix the problems. Fix them. And Elon is doing it. I don't usually do these back and forths, but I'm going to do more of them because it's really good content. So Elon directly answered Fetterman. Put the next one for me, Brent. Bro, if I wanted to rummage through random personal bleep, I could have done that at PayPal. Hello? Absolutely. Remember how PayPal, Aaron and I chronicled this a year and a half ago. PayPal was holding on to $2,500 worth of your money if you use PayPal for hate speech. If you violated their hate speech rule, they would fine you $2,500 of your own money. And it's just a payment app. They're just a facilitator. They're just a conduit. That's like being punished by an outlet in your wall. That's all that they are. So, I mean, that they were holding back. They were actually fining you your own money in PayPal. And that's what Elon's saying. Because Elon's a co-founder and, well, Elon's a creator of PayPal. Having tens of millions of people marked in Social Security as alive when they are definitively dead is a huge problem, Johnny. Is that rummaging through people's personal bleep? Is that rummaging through? I mean, it's amazing what Democrats will actually defend. And that's why Johnny needs to be defeated for a real-life conservative in Pennsylvania, even though he's playing conservative now. But his true colors are exposed all the time. All right, go to the next one for me. Here's the actual numbers, just so everybody knows. And I probably have already seen this. This is absolutely viral today. So here's people that are receiving Social Security payments. I got hair in my face here. 0 to 9. Get this, guys. Get this. These are people receiving Social Security pay. And you wonder why Social Security's broke? If you think that, by the way, Social Security's got 10 years left in it. So if you're thinking you're going to get Social Security payments, you're not. Just so you know. Not unless something has radically changed. Your time I pay to it. It doesn't matter. Oh, Brent, you got our list? You got to send it, send me back to Tom, I paid into Social Security. I paid into it. I paid into all those years, all those fights. Well, no, here's where it went. $10 million to Mozambique Voluntary Medical Male Circumcision. That's where it went.
Sweet.
$9.7 million to UC Berkeley to develop a cohort of Cambodian youth with enterprise-driven skills. $32.3 million for strengthening independent voices in Cambodia. $32 million for Prague to build a civil society center. That's where it went. Your Social Security, the Social Security lockbox has been unlocked and violated for years. There's nothing in it. All right, go back to where we were. Wherever we were. Okay, so here it is. So this is where your Social Security money is going. 0 to 9-year-olds. 38 million checks are sent to them. 0 to 9-year-olds? 38 million. 10 to 19-year-olds, Social Security checks? To 44 million of them? 47 million checks? This is really 48 million. 30 to 39, how many 30 to 39-year-olds are on Social Security? 52 million? You think maybe this are these like voter registration rolls that might need to be cleaned out a little bit? And just so you know, sometimes when you have dirty voter registration rolls, people still don't vote because it may be sent, you know, a mail-in ballot. They don't send it in because they're dead. Here, these checks are written. They're sent, they're written, they're cashed by somebody. Mass freaking fraud. What is it that funds mass child sex trafficking? Oh, this could be it right here. Maybe they're sending it to the 0 to 9-year-olds. 40 to 49-year-olds, 47 million checks. 50 to 59-year-olds, now we're getting a little bit more realistic. We're totally unrealistic because you don't start collecting Social Security until you get to the next age bracket. So you don't even start collecting Social Security until we get to the next age bracket. So 0 to 9, explain it. 10 to 19, explain it. 20 to 29, explain it. 30 to 39, explain it. 40 to 49, explain it. 50 to 59, you got hundreds of millions of people receiving checks. How? We haven't even got to the age where you can receive Social Security yet. We haven't received it. We haven't even gotten to the qualifier yet. Now we're finally there. 60 to 69-year-olds, 46 million checks. 77. Now we're making sense. 70 to 79-year-olds, 33. 80 to 89, 50. Man, this is somewhat reasonable. Way too high, but somewhat reasonable. Then suddenly, now, what is our average age of death in America? It keeps going down because of the Democrats and their awesome medical interventions like vaccines, where we've had a dramatic increase in excess deaths, especially amongst working age, which lowers your average age of death greatly. So the average age of death of COVID was 79. The average age of death in America is 77, etching towards 76. So here we are now. Funny now, we've had this massive surge, Aaron and Brett. We've had this massive surge because we send out 6 million checks to 90 to 99-year-olds. 6 million? Now, here's where it gets really fun. The oldest documented person in the world today is 116 years of age. And we in America, though, Aaron, we're blessed.
Yeah.
It's just like we had how many more people voted than were registered to vote? And then what's the Democrats' response to that? Oh, it's just great voter turnout. It's impossible. You have to register 30 days in advance. So how do you, if the oldest person in America, in the world is 116, and they're only one of those, how do we have 4,734,000 100 to 109-year-olds? How do we have 110 to, how do we have 3,627,000 110 to 119-year-olds? How do we have how do we have 4,130-year-olds to 139-year-olds? We don't have one. We don't have one. We don't have any in those from 110 to 119. We have zero. 120 to 129, zero. 130 to 139, zero. We have people living in America that are 149 years of age because we're sending out 3,542,000 checks. Anybody explain this to me? I mean, this is literally like talking about Act Blue. Act Blue, where you have Mary Smith, a registered Democrat, who brings a Social Security check every year of $36,000, has made $40,000 individual, $40,000 individual contributions amounting to $100 each over the last 3 years. That's Act Blue. Is the FEC ever going to get involved? Well, we'll see. Hopefully under Trump they will. Because they have to explain to me. Let's go to the next one. Leave this up. I didn't mean that. How do we have 150 to 159-year-olds receiving 1,345,000 checks? We have people are living to 100 to 60 to 169 now because we've sent out 121,000 checks to them. 170 years old we've got because 6,000 checks were sent out to them. 180-year-olds are receiving 695 checks, 190 to 199, 448. And we crossed the 200 barrier too because 879 people from 200 to 209 years of age received checks. 866 people who are 210 years old to 219 years old receive checks. For some reason, we hop up from 220 to 229. We have more people there than we do to 180 to 189. We're there with 1,039 people. We even have one who's 369 years of age receiving a check. That's our government for you. Number of checks, Aaron put it out there, 398,416,213 checks. Woohoo! I don't know if this is yearly. I don't know if this is quarterly. I don't know if what this is exactly, but these people are receiving checks. And John Fetterman doesn't want you to mess around with their personal data. You know, I'm going to go ahead and mess around with the personal data of the 369-year-old. I'll mess around with the personal data of the 209-year-old too. Shall we? All right, let's go to the next one. Shadow of Ezra video. Hollywood elitist Jennifer Garner. For some strange reason, Aaron, this is all coincidental. Don't say anything. It's coincidental.
Okay.
Uploaded a video of herself reading a book titled Secret Pizza Party to a bunch of kids.
Of course.
Listen, now, Aaron, stop being conspiratorial.
Okay.
All right. She's reading it to children.
Yeah.
At a Save the Children event, an NGO under investigation for sex trafficking children. Play for me, Brent.
It's called Secret Pizza Party. Tomorrow we got Pepper, then you're gonna love this book.
Pepperoni.
Here's Sebastian, look.
Pepperoni.
The end.
Again, there's nothing to worry about here at all. I mean, it's just, again, Hollywood elitist Jennifer Garner uploaded a video of herself reading a book titled Secret Pizza Party to Children at Save the Children event, an NGO under investigation For, funded by USAID. For child sex trafficking, the book Secret Pizza Party encourages children to keep secrets. Oh. The FBI has actually confirmed that pizza is a pedophile code word. There you go. That's strange, isn't it? I mean, it's all coincidental now. Of course. All right, Clown World tweet. This is great. And you're like, why is this under the dough section? Because David Hogg has figured out how the government works and is using it to his own benefit, hopefully criminally so. Clown World tweet. Breaking, newly elected DNC vice chair, David Hogg. That's the vice chair. Like, man, dude, you know what? Have some protein.
Dude.
I mean, have some protein. A stiff wind is going to blow you away like a tumbleweed. Newly elected DNC vice chair David Hogg is using party resources to funnel vote donations into his own PAC, where he pays himself a six-figure salary. Leave this up for me, Brett. Now, what he did was this. He got their donation list. And what he did was he runs and basically his own PAC, which is for all intents and purposes an NGO. And what he did was he got their donor logger. Is that what you call it? Donor log or donor list?
Yep, donor list.
Yeah, so he got their donor list, and he sent them all an opportunity to give to his own organization that pays him. I'm sure a very high six-figure salary, just like all the NGOs that you and I are paying for, so that Democrats can have six-figure salaries running the NGOs. They can hire other Democrats for six-figure speaking engagements and then donate to other Democrats' campaigns where their wives and their husbands are consultants in those campaigns, making the politician and the campaign a multimillionaire. That's exactly what's happening globally. And David Hogg has just chimed right in. He's doing exactly what everybody else is doing. I just love it, though. It's absolutely hysterical. He didn't send them the opportunity to give to the DNC, of which he is now a vice chair. He sent him an opportunity to give to his own NGO that employs him for a six-figure salary every year. Isn't that great? I love it. It's awesome. All right, let's go to the next one. Project Veritas video. Breaking. Ad EPA advisor admits insurance policy against Trump is funneling billions to climate organizations, climate NGOs that do exactly what I've just been explaining with NGOs. We're throwing gold bars off the Titanic. Play it for me.
Now we're just having to get the money out as fast as possible before they come in and like fuck up. It truly feels like we're on the Titanic, we're throwing like gold bars off the top edge.
Who are the gold bars going to?
Nonprofits, states, tribes. We gave them the money because it was harder. If it was a government run program, they could take the money away.
No.
If Trump won, and because it was a insurance policy against Trump winning. Until the Trump people come in and tell us we can no longer give up money.
I do environmental climate policy things.
Really?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Is that here? That stuff is here?
I mean, because I do like federal government climate things. Well, I have been doing that. But that might change, but...
Why?
So we're going to the EPA. So a lot is going to change.
Amazing.
So I do... you know the Inflation Reduction Act? Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Okay, Biden's climate law?
Yes.
Yeah. So I do IRA implementation. I work with, like, Biden appointees. The money that we've given out, like, tens of billions of dollars. Like,
for the EPA
last year. Over last year, we gave out probably, like, $50 million.
$50 million?
Billion with a B.
$50 billion.
Yes, for climate things. So, like, to go work for one of these places, I think would be really cool.
What are the places that you've given them to?
It's only been a few weeks, so it's a little early. But, like, green banks. So they're, like, nonprofit institutions that are, like, making it more financially feasible to build.
Hi, this is EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. One of my very top priorities at EPA is to be an excellent steward of your hard-earned tax dollars. There will be zero tolerance of any waste and abuse. An extremely disturbing video circulated 2 months ago featuring a Biden EPA political appointee talking about how they were tossing gold bars off the Titanic, rushing to get billions of your tax dollars out the door before inauguration day. The gold bars were tax dollars, and tossing them off the Titanic meant the Biden administration knew they were wasting it. Following this revelation, during my meetings with members of Congress, I made a very important commitment to them and to the American people, which I reiterated at my confirmation hearing that if confirmed, I would immediately get a full accounting. Fortunately, my awesome team at EPA has found the gold bars. Shockingly, roughly $20 billion of your tax dollars were parked at an outside financial institution by the Biden EPA. This scheme was the first of its kind in EPA history, and it was purposefully designed to obligate all of the money in a rush job with reduced oversight. Even further, this pot of $20 billion was awarded to just 8 entities that were then responsible for doling out your money to NGOs and others at their discretion with far less transparency. Just under $7 billion was sent to one entity called the Climate United Fund. I'm sure you and I now have some of the same questions. How do these organizations decide how to allocate funding? How much money have they given out so far to whom? Are there any former Biden EPA staffers who are now working at these entities? Let me make one thing abundantly clear. At this point, there is zero reason to suspect any wrongdoing by the bank. Here's my position as EPA administrator. The financial agent agreement with the bank needs to be instantly terminated, and the bank must immediately return all of the gold bars that the Biden administration tossed off the Titanic. EPA needs to reassume responsibility for all of these funds. We will review every penny that has gone out the door. I will be referring this matter to the Inspector General's office, and we'll work with the Justice Department as well.
So they made sure in the waning seconds of the Biden administration to take $20 billion, like he says there on the video, $20 billion with a B, it's like gold bars off the Titanic, and parked the $20 billion at an outside financial institution, outside of government oversight. Can that be even legal? That you can take taxpayer dollars, park it in a non-oversighted financial institution to be doled out to leftist NGOs, $7 billion of which went to the Climate United Fund? What does that even do? And again, all these NGOs are they're, of course, non-government organizations, organizations set up to receive taxpayer dollars. How many, I mean, we all need to look at this. How many leftist billionaires and millionaires are actually millionaires and billionaires based on capitalistic practice? How many of them are actually millionaires and billionaires because they've received taxpayer dollars like J.B. Pritzker has to 56 different NGOs that he runs? And he's a billionaire, allegedly, because he owns Hyatt Hotel. Does he own Hyatt Hotel because he's been receiving mass infusions of millions and billions of dollars into his 56, 53, whatever it may be, NGOs? Is that why Soros is a billionaire? I mean, we need to figure it out exactly how they're doing it, how these people became millionaires, billionaires. Maybe it was through legitimate capitalistic practice, but what if it's not? Because I guarantee you there's a lot of millionaires at the Climate United Fund who's being run by all Democrats getting paid $500,000-$600,000 a year, paying for speakers to come in who are Democrats to get paid $500,000-$600,000 per speech, and then donate it to Democratic Party campaigns. And Democratic Party campaigns, by that, I mean that symbolically only, because those campaigns could be anything in any leftist political party around the globe. All right, go to the next one for me. Wall Street Apes video. This is off of Rogan. It's about Elon Musk just called out Gavin Newsom's mansion. Play it for me.
Do you know the whole thing about his house?
No.
He was gifted a $3.5 million house.
Right.
And it was like gifted to him as a part of an LLC that he became a part of.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And then he took a mortgage on this house for like $2+ million. And so they literally gave him millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And it's like somehow or another, some very bizarre legal loophole where you're the governor of California and they can give you millions of dollars.
Yeah, right.
And then right in front of everybody's face, they gift you a house.
So LLC is just another word for another NGO. So Gavin Newsom gets gifted because he's part of an LLC. In other words, he's part of an NGO. We need to see where all that money came from, where they are able to donate to Gavin Newsom. A $3 million mansion, of which, again, now it's pure profit. Gavin Newsom pulls out a $2 million mortgage off of it. I would love to get the tax documents on all of that. All right, go to the next one for me. General Mike Flynn tweet. Don't worry, Peter. I'll read the bottom first. New former FBI agent Peter Strzok has removed all posts from his X account. Remember, the only reason why I'm putting this in the Doge section is because Doge is looking into the FBI. Why does Peter Strzok? He just won a lawsuit and got his back pay. I think it's $1.8 million, whatever it is. Why is he removing all of his posts all of a sudden? Are we going to be looking into his financial practices? Are we going to be looking deep into the collusion hoax and everything else? Because you never should have won the lawsuit. Did he win a lawsuit that was paid out by NGO money? General Flynn says, don't worry, Peter. The Digital Army has secured every single one. That is our insurance policy. Yeah, we've got all of your tweets. You can delete them all you want. Nothing is ever actually deleted. All right, let's go to the border for a couple minutes. Benny Johnson tweet, breaking, Trump administration fires 20 immigration judges. Now, let me translate to you, most of you already know this, let me translate to you what an immigration judge is. An immigration judge is simply an illegal immigration facilitator. That's all Biden wanted. That was, again, I should not get into James Cuckboy Langford's border security bill and Chuck Schumer's border security bill that we just had to have, remember? Because we needed mass border reform. We had to have a systemic border reform. It's just like Democrats, the border's been, Kamala, every time you ask a question about the border's been broken for a long time. Why did Trump fix it in 3 days? If we need mass border reform, if we need comprehensive, the word they always use, comprehensive border reform, the border's broken, then how did Trump fix it in 3 days? He just did it unilaterally through EOs. How did he do that if we need comprehensive border reform? James Cuckboy Langford, I'm waiting for the retraction because he was out there, you know, prostituting for the globalist left, whoring himself around for the globalist left, saying, that's the Republican senator out of Oklahoma, I think it's Oklahoma. And
yeah.
Thank you, Aaron. So he's out there, you know, postulating for them. Why has James not come out and said, I guess I was wrong, the president can actually do it? Just like Biden didn't do anything for 3.5 years, then when he declared that he's going to be running again, suddenly they shut down the border. They didn't really, but they by media stories shut down the border. Again, it's not a matter of actually shutting the border down when you're Biden. It's just a matter of stop counting the people that are illegally crossing. Trump has actually shut down 93% of illegal immigration. So these judges, that was always, you notice that was always Biden's number one goal. He's got to get more judges, so they can facilitate illegals across the border faster and faster. That was always the goal. Trump knows that, just like the inspector generals. The inspector generals are not inspecting. They're actually facilitating illegal investigations. So Trump is basically firing judges who are going to do illegal things. And that's that. And so 20 of them are gone. Go to the next one for me. Rapid Response 47 video. Bill Malugin in San Diego. Now, you want to talk about production. You want to talk about production. We are now officially one month into the Trump administration. Listen to this production. Bill Malugin out of Fox News. In San Diego, an NGO says its shelter has had not a single migrant walk through its doors since President Trump took office. I thought we need James Cuckboy Langford's comprehensive border reform bill, the border security bill, which did anything but secure the border, which I can't get into, but I got all the stats in my mind right now. They're now closing the shelter. That's what you call effective administration, right? Play for me, Brent.
So this San Diego NGO says its shelter has had not a single migrant walk through its door since President Trump took office. They're now closing that shelter down and laying off more than 100 employees, they say, because of Trump's border policies and his ending of their federal funding. Jewish Family Service San Diego has been running a rapid response migrant shelter that offered migrants care packages, food, legal services, travel coordination, medical screenings, and immigration case management. FEMA records show they had been allocated $22 million last year, but the NGO says they've received none of that money. Jewish Family Service San Diego points the finger at President Trump, saying in part, quote, with migrants no longer able to use the CBP-1 application, the shelter has not received new families and individuals released from short-term federal custody.
If you look at January 20th, inauguration day, to February 8th, it's a 19-day period. You take that and compare it to a year ago. Here's what we found. Interior ICE arrests inside the country last year in 2024, just shy of 5,000. You're well over that, double at 11,791 so far in 2025. Arrests of migrants with criminal histories. Here we go. A year ago, 4,500. You've nearly doubled that already, just shy of 9,000 in 2025. Arrests of suspected gang members. A year ago, it was about 200. Right now, at 430 and standing as we speak today. Tom Homa, the border czar. And Tom, good morning to you. When do you run out of criminal illegal targets?
Well, look, we got, last count, we got almost 600,000 illegal aliens in the United States with a criminal conviction. So I won't be happy till we eradicate every one of those. And as far as TDA, we got a few more hundred TDA to look for, and we're looking for them now. They're our priority. Public safety threats remain a priority. So I'll be happy once we eradicate them from the United States.
So when you compare Trump numbers versus Biden numbers in this little pocket of time, January 20th to February 8th, 2024 versus 2025, under Trump, illegal alien arrests, just people who are came in illegally, that's their only crime, up 137%. Criminal alien arrests, up 98%. Gang, illegal immigrant gang arrests, up 105%. But we need James Cuckboy Lankford's border security bill. No, you don't need any of it. You just need to actually enforce laws that are already in the books. It's illegal to cross our border, and all you need to do is not let them cross the border. And if you find them, take them back to the country that they crossed the border at. If they crossed to Canada, go kick them across the Canadian border. If they crossed in Canada, kick them in the across the Mexican border, or the Canadian border, whichever they crossed, or anybody else. And if you have to have a flight, you have to have a flight. Of course, it gets a little complicated because Joe Biden was spending $150,000 per flight to fly them in from Haiti and Venezuela. It wasn't Venezuela, some other country, but it was Haiti for sure. All right, George tweet. Just in, Gavin Newsom will be spending a whopping $9.5 billion, that's slated for this year to give free health care to illegal aliens. George says, I'm infuriated. I don't even live in California. The federal government should freeze all funding for California until they comply with federal immigration laws, picking illegals over citizens and streets. And now, this is going to be harsh right here. It's going to be harsh. None of the people basically in Pacific Palisades and along the Malibu shoreline where the house is suspiciously burned to the ground. Okay, I'm just curious, how does it cross the PCH and burn everything down along the beach? How does a fire do that? I mean, it's amazing, but I digress. But none of those people are going to vote for you anyway, so we need to leverage the rebuilding of South Carolina for the, what Olympics is it, 2030 Olympics, whatever's coming in there, 4 years? Or is it 2 years? I don't know. But anyway, the upcoming Olympics.
Two years, right?
Yeah. So for the upcoming Olympics in 2 years, we need to leverage the rebuilding of South Carolina with
California.
What is it? Aaron?
California. You what said South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Other state.
Right, California.
Yeah.
Right, I don't know why I said South Carolina. So we need to be leveraging the rebuilding of California with, are you going to comply with federal law? Otherwise, you're getting, federal funds. If you are not going to honor ICE detainers, no. If you're going to spend $9.5 billion to give free health insurance, free health care to illegal aliens, you don't get any federal funds. If you're going to make it illegal to even ask for an ID at a polling place during an election, then you don't get any federal dollars. This has to be done. Nobody's voting for us in Los Angeles. Hey, Tom, you're lacking compassion. There's nobody on the streets, folks. Let's all be honest, shall we? Can we just be honest? Nobody's starving to death in South Carolina. Why do I keep saying South Carolina? Oh, Southern California, that's why. Nobody in Southern California, nobody is starving to death. Nobody's out on the street because of the fires. Those are multi, one of the richest areas in the world. One of the reasons why Gavin Newsom lets insurance go out is because they're so wealthy, people can rebuild their houses themselves. That's not everybody, but it's a lot of them. A lot of those houses are heritage houses, what we're going given from generation to generation. And that was all of their lifetime savings were in that $5, $6 million house. That's all those people had. So I do feel bad for those people, but nobody's starving to death. And we need to be leveraging the rebuilding of Southern California with their compliance with federal law and ICE detainers. If not, bye-bye. You don't get it. You get nothing. You can try to rebuild Southern California using your own tax dollars in a state where they are hundreds of billions of dollars in debt already. That's exactly what needs to happen. And why in the world would anybody... And where is that money coming from? Where does the $9.5 billion go? Is that part of the NGO? Is that part of the NGO river flowing out of D.C.? We need to find that out, too. If it is... Elon Musk will shut it down. Let me show you this one. Barron Trump News. This is just a side piece here. It's got nothing to do with any any news that's happening right now. I just threw it in here because it's entertaining. All right, Barron Trump news. The Secret Service confirms beyond a shadow of a doubt, Hillary Clinton is one of the greatest evils in the American political landscape. Hillary Clinton's 675,000 atrocities via Wiener's laptop from hell. Now, the reason why I bring this up is they, you know, who are they fighting the hardest against when it comes to confirmation? Cash Patel. Why? Because of things like this, because this is all going to be aired out. Glenn Beck predicted day one of Cash Patel. When Cash Patel is sworn in, day one, the Epstein flight log goes out. Day one, it goes out. And maybe all the other Epstein information too. This is why they're quaking in their boots, because a lot of this is not beyond the statute of limitations. Play for me, Brent.
Very clear violations of the Espionage Act, and really no issue about intent, despite President Obama proclaiming otherwise. And of course, you realize the reason that Hillary had to be protected was because he was writing her on that secret server using an alias, which shows that he damn well knew and had approved in advance her use of the secret unsecured server. On top of that, there's the Anthony Weiner laptop, which I don't know if you heard this. I wrote an article about that, too. 675,000 Clinton emails when they got Anthony Weiner's laptop in a search warrant because of all his sex perversion issues. It was all the Clinton emails, the Clinton Foundation, her Secretary of State emails, Huma Abedin's emails. Lots of people emailed Huma as a proxy for Hillary, and it included what Comey called the the golden emails, because they were the BlackBerry backup emails that they were supposedly just looking for everywhere very diligently. Well, guess what they did when they found them on the Weiner laptop? They got a search warrant for things that didn't include the BlackBerry backup emails. So when they told us, when he stood there and said that day, we've reviewed all the emails now, there's nothing there, that was a bald-faced lie. They specifically did not look at the BlackBerry backups, and they didn't look at a fraction of the emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop. So one of the things, if I were the president, I'd do is demand the Anthony Weiner laptop and get it to the most trusted person in the military to take apart everything on it and then start using it. There's a lot that can be prosecuted, I have no doubt, on that laptop. In fact, I heard that the New York police officers who saw some of it, even though they're hardened investigators, literally had to go throw up. It's bad.
Why is every Democrat named Weiner? That's the question. But anyway, so on this now, this is just very interesting, because this really coincides with the raid on Rudy Giuliani's house by the FBI, all in reference to Hunter Biden's laptop. And then when Rudy said to them, here's the laptop, it's right here, he had it on a hard drive, here it is, they said, we're not interested, when they raided his house because of the Hunter Biden laptop. He said, here it is. Well, here you had Comey looking. I mean, he was pulling search warrants for it, everything else, for the golden emails. The golden emails, what Comey himself called them, which are Hillary Clinton's BlackBerry emails, which showed all of her personal emails, all of her illegal emails, the emails coming out of the bathroom in Denver, her unsecured email system that was supposed to be secured, wasn't. It was in a bathroom in Denver, Colorado. All of these that would show foreign collusion, whatever it may be. It would show everything, show all of her emails to everybody. He wanted these so bad, because there's 675,000 of these emails, total emails, on the Anthony Weiner, that's Uma Abedin's ex-husband. Uma Abedin now is dating George Soros' son. That's weird. They all know each other, the party that you and I aren't invited to. The 675,000 Clinton emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop, including Clinton Foundation emails, which is a horrendously corrupt organization out of Haiti and everything else. Well, on the laptop, there were the golden emails that are all of Hillary's backups. In other words, she said that she gave all of her work-related emails. None of it had anything. None of it had classified markings on it. None of it Well, this would reveal which ones were classified, which ones weren't, which ones were personal, which one weren't, because these are her actual backup emails. Everything she sent out of her device she wasn't supposed to have. It wasn't an approved device, which is run by the military, these approved devices. Well, as soon as he ends up with access to the golden emails and he sees them, he rewrites the warrant so that he it doesn't cover the golden emails all of a sudden, so he can cover. See, this is not a plausible deniability stuff. This is blatant corruption. That's why they do the NGO thing through USAID and everything else, is so that they think that they have plausible deniability. There is no deniability here. That is blatant corruption by the former director of the FBI to cover up for his preferred political class. That's blatant corruption, borderline treason, and that's what's and again, election interference, just like the Hunter Biden laptop. All right, now let's get into Ukraine. It's popping up right now because Trump's talking about, you have the mineral rights thing with Ukraine. We'll get into all of it. The mineral rights stuff. Trump's obviously looking to defund the whole Ukraine operation, whatever you want to call it. Our Bannon's got it about $250 billion that we've sent over there so far. Some people say $177 billion. So the low end's $177 billion. High end's $250 billion. I'll go with Bannon because Bannon's always right. But here's the thing, what we have to do, and I don't like to play videos that are this long, but we're going to play one real long video. And what is the root? I want everybody to understand. You probably do already because almost everybody watching this is red-pilled. But what is the root of the Ukraine war? Because what they want is, like, Amy Klobuchar came out today because Trump's talking about defunding Ukraine. She came out with her I Stand With Ukraine shirt. You know, the very simplistic, superficial view. Should you stand with Ukraine? Why would you? For democracy? For a country that's not a democracy? You're going to fight for democracy in a country that's not a democracy? Why would you? I mean, again, all of the people that are banning speech in Europe, arresting, like in the UK, where they're arresting 4,000 people a year for speech violations, Vladimir Putin arrests 400 a year. So they're 10 times worse in the democracy than they are in the authoritarian dictatorship. And Ukraine's the exact same way. No opposition media, no opposition parties, no Orthodox church, and no elections. How's that a democracy? We're going to go fight for democracy. But somebody as simplistic or purposely stupid as Amy Klobuchar takes a picture of herself with her I Stand With Ukraine shirt today with her Ukrainian flag on it. What really happened in Ukraine? What was the precipice of the war in Ukraine? What actually caused the war in Ukraine? Well, here it is. This is Jeffrey Sachs. Play it for me.
Let me just explain in 2 minutes the Ukraine war. This is not an attack by Putin on Ukraine in the way that we are told every day. This started in 1990, February 9th, 1990. James Baker III, our Secretary of State, said to Mikhail Gorbachev, NATO will not move one inch eastward if you agree to German unification, basically ending World War II. And Gorbachev said, that's very important. Yes, NATO doesn't move, and we agree to German unification. The U.S. then cheated on this, already starting in 1994, when Clinton signed off on basically a plan to expand NATO all the way to Ukraine. This is when the so-called neocons took power. And Clinton was the first agent of this. And the expansion of NATO started in 1999 with Poland, Hungary, and Czech Republic. At that point, Russia didn't much care. There was no border other than with the Königsberg. But other than that, there was no direct threat. Then the U.S. Led the bombing of Serbia in 1999. That was bad, by the way, because that was the use of NATO to bomb a European capital, Belgrade, 78 straight days to break the country apart. The Russians didn't like that very much. But Putin became president, they swallowed it, they complained, but even Putin started out pro-European, pro-American, actually asked maybe we should join NATO when there was still the idea of some kind of mutually respectful relationship. Then 9/11 came, then came Afghanistan, and the Russians said, yeah, we'll support you, we understand, to root out terror. But then came two other decisive actions. In 2002, the United States unilaterally walked out of the anti-ballistic missile treaty. This was probably the most decisive event, never discussed in this context. But what it did was trigger the U.S. putting in missile systems in Eastern Europe that Russia views as a dire, direct threat to national security by making possible a decapitation strike of missiles that are a few minutes away from Moscow. And we put in two Aegis missile systems. We say it's defense. Russia says, how do we know it's not Tomahawk nuclear-tipped missiles in your silos? You've told us we have nothing to do with this. And so we walked out of the ABM treaty unilaterally in 2002. And then in 2003, we invaded Iraq on completely phony pretenses, as I've explained. In 2004-05, we engaged in a soft regime change operation in Ukraine, the so-called first color revolution. It put in office somebody that I knew and was I was friends with, and am kind of distantly friends with, President Yushchenko, because I was an advisor to the Ukrainian government in 1993, 94, 95. And then the U.S. had its dirty hands in this. It should not meddle in other countries' elections. But in 2009, Yanukovych won the election, and he became president. And in 2010, on the basis of neutrality for Ukraine, that calmed things down because the U.S. was pushing NATO, but the people of Ukraine on the opinion polls didn't even want to be in NATO. They knew that the country is divided between ethnic Ukrainian, ethnic Russian. What do we want with this? We want to stay away from your problems. So in February 22nd, 2014, the United States participated actively in the overthrow of Yanukovych, a typical U.S. regime change operation. Have no doubt about it. And the Russians did us a favor. They intercepted a really ugly call between Victoria Nuland, my colleague at Columbia University now. And if you know her name and what she's done, have sympathy for me. Really. Between her and the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Piat, who was a senior State Department official till today. And they talked about regime change. They said, who's going to be the next government? Ah, why don't we pick this one? No, Klitschko shouldn't go in. It should be Yatsenyuk. Ah, yes, it was Yatsenyuk. And we'll get the big guy, Biden, to come in and do an attaboy, they say. You know, pat him on the back. It's great. So they made the new government. And I happened to be invited to go there soon after that, not knowing any of the background. And then some of it was in a very ugly way explained to me after I arrived how the U.S. had participated in this. All of this is to say the U.S. then said, okay, now NATO's really going to enlarge. And Putin kept saying, stop. You promised no NATO enlargement. It's been, by the way, I forgot to mention, in 2004, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Bulgaria, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, seven more countries in the not one inch eastward.
So now you see why this war has occurred. And once again, it's very easy to walk away from this war. It is a Slavic conflict that's been going on for 1,000 years that has absolutely no national security interest for us. So we don't belong in it. And Russia has no interest in taking anything but Luhansk and Donetsk, the breakout regions, asking for this invasion. The breakout regions in the Donbass asking, just like Crimea did, they wait until it's a weak United States president, because then Putin can come in and do whatever he wants. They wait. But that's exactly what happened to Crimea. Crimea was not taken by Vladimir Putin. It was annexed by request of the people living in Crimea. Same thing in Donetsk and Luhansk. Right now, the breakout provinces in the Donbass that are tired of being harassed when they're Russian-speaking Ukrainians who are actually Russians. And they're being harassed by the Azov Battalion and harassed by the Zelensky administration. And they're sick of it. So they asked to be annexed back into Russia, which is who they are. That's what's happening now. But this all began back in 1990. James Baker to Gorbachev, quote, "We will never advance eastward as NATO. NATO will never advance eastward." That's what they said. Now, whether you like Russia or whether you like Ukraine, it's a matter of whether or not you keep your freaking word. Because in all actuality, as Jeffrey Sachs says here, it was actually about ending World War II. Aaron, that's perfect, by the way. What you're doing is perfect. I'm seeing stuff here. I'm seeing Aaron's doing stuff on my left here. But anyway, this was actually to end World War II for the unification of Germany because everybody was scarred to death, scared to death of Germany reunifying because of what Germany did in World War I and World War II. And there's a lot of politics involved, and I know all that. I'm just saying, just for simplicity of conversation, that was the point of it. So they effectively ended World War II because they're allowing Germany to reunify completely and totally tear down the wall, Gorbachev, all this stuff. So James Baker says to Gorbachev, if you will simply agree to true German reunification without any Soviet ties, we promise you. Aaron, what does the promise mean?
That you're going to do it.
Okay, correct. I promise you that NATO, if you will agree to German reunification, that NATO will never advance eastward towards Russia. Only problem is, 4 years later, Poland, Hungary, and Czech Republic all entered into NATO eastward towards Russia. And then that same year, we bombed Serbia's capital for 78 days. And it's Slava Ukraine! Save the innocent Volodymyr Zelensky, the second coming of Churchill's administration. Slava Ukraine, democracy versus authoritarian dictatorship when it's actually the mullahs of Iran versus Saddam Hussein. Which one's worse? Which one's worse? A militaristic theocracy or a pure theocracy? Muslim both. So which one do you choose? An authoritarian dictator? Is it really 1007?
Yeah.
What the heck has happened to the time, man? What happened? Gosh, dog it. But anyway, so I mean, I got to get through the Ukraine stuff. We're not going to make 10-10, boys. I'm just letting you know. We're not going to go too long, though. So anyway, so that you don't have to make that decision. You let them fight it out. They want to fight it out, let them fight it out. So, and then 2010, we walked out of, I can't remember the name of the missile treaty, but anyway, we walked out of a major missile treaty so that we could put missile systems into Eastern Europe, which are the same missile systems that were approved for launch from Ukraine into Russia. Remember when we were talking about that several months ago before the election? Because we were all very concerned that the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist and Democratic Party would try to start intercontinental conflict, maybe even nuclear, at least a regional nuclear conflict inside of Ukraine, inside of Russia. It was the exact same system that they wanted to put in Europe, and they did into Turkey. Is that advancing eastward? Aaron, is that advancing eastward? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, so in 2003, we invaded Iraq under false pretenses. We're just doing great. We're the white knights, aren't we? Tom, don't you love America? Of course I love America. I'm playing the hockey thing. Playing the hockey thing again in the postgame. I'm just telling you. We are not pure. We're not keeping our word. 2004, 2005. I thought we orchestrated the soft coup color revolution 2014. No, we didn't. 4 and 5, too. Orchestrate a soft coup for regime change inside of Ukraine. We orchestrate regime change every time we have a Ukrainian prime minister or president, whatever the title is, whenever we have a Ukrainian president who wants to normalize relationships with Russia, normalize relations with Russia. Whenever that happens, see, here's the problem. If you normalize relations with Russia, who's going to feed the military-industrial complex? Think about how much money all of these companies, whether it's Lockheed Martin, Honeywell, who are all actually owned by Aaron?
BlackRock.
BlackRock. Okay, so who's going to feed BlackRock if Ukraine normalizes relations with Russia? So you don't have to order NATO-approved weapons, because I know this is redundant for those of you who watch the show all the time, But the reason why they want Ukraine to be part of NATO is because once you are in NATO, you can only order your weapons from NATO-approved military-industrial complex, BlackRock-owned military companies, military contractors like Honeywell and Lockheed Martin. That's the point of it all. Again, it's just what you can summarize the entire thing through what you're seeing Elon Musk do with Doge. Money just sent to various locations to benefit specific individuals. And it doesn't matter if 600,000 Ukrainians have died. And it's way more than that now. And then we actually had the true color revolution in 2014 when we overthrew Yanukovych, and Victoria Nuland did that along with Jake Sullivan, John McCain, and Lindsey Graham. And then installed Yatsenyuk because Yanukovych wanted to what? He wanted to normalize relationships with Russia, and Victoria, Miss Piggy Newland, doesn't like that because it won't feed BlackRock and the military-industrial complex, which are one and the same. And then coup de grace here. Now, in 2004, now remember now, James Baker told Gorbachev we're never going to advance eastward. I'm finishing with this. But in 1994... Poland was added to NATO, Hungary was added to NATO, Czech Republic was added to NATO, and then 10 years later, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Bulgaria, Romania, Slovakia, and Slovenia were all added to NATO. And Aaron said the nuclear weapons treaty that I was talking about is the INF treaty, which we walked away from in 2002 and put military, put two missile installations inside of Turkey. Unbelievable. This is a briefer one. This is a two minute part of Jeffrey Sachs explaining what really is happening in Ukraine. Play for me.
This is the trust building. In other words, it's completely reckless U.S. foreign policy. On December 15th, 2021, Putin put on the table a draft Russia-U.S. security agreement. You can find it online. The basis of it is no NATO enlargement. I called the White House that next week after that, begging them, take the negotiations. Putin's offered something, avoid this war. Oh, Jeff, there's not going to be a war. Announced that NATO's not going to enlarge. Oh, don't worry, NATO's not going to enlarge. I said, oh, you're going to have a war over something that's not going to happen? Why don't you announce them? And he said, no, our policy is an open door. This is Jake Sullivan. Our policy is an open door policy. Open door for NATO enlargement. That is under the category of bull, by the way. You don't have your right to put your military bases anywhere you want and expect peace in this world. You have to have some prudence. There's no such thing as an open door that we're going to be there and we're going to put our missile systems there and that's our right. There's no right to that. We declared in 1823, Europeans don't come to the Western Hemisphere. That's the Monroe Doctrine. The whole Western Hemisphere, after all. Okay, anyway, they turned down the negotiations. Then the special military operation started. And 5 days later, Zelensky says, okay, neutrality. And then the Turks said, we'll mediate this. And I flew to Ankara to discuss it with the Turkish negotiators because I wanted to hear exactly what was going on. So what was going on was they reached an agreement with a few odds and ends. And then the United States and Britain said, no way. You guys fight on. We got your back. We don't have your front. You're all going to die. But we got your back as we kept pushing them into the front lines. That's 600,000 deaths now of Ukrainians since Boris Johnson flew to Kyiv to tell them to be brave. Absolutely ghastly.
And then remember, this video was made months and months ago, so it's over a million now. It's hard to tell which one we're talking about here because it's like 1.2 million, and I think it's both Russian and Ukrainian casualties and deaths. But at that time, 600,000 had already died or wounded in battle for nothing because the Putin deal in 2021, remember the invasion began in early 2022, So we're now coming up on year, starting in year three now, or year, yeah, start, well, I've gotten to year three now. So the, but in 2021, Putin deal, again, what did Putin do? He hearkened back to 1990 with James Baker and Gorbachev. I'm simply asking that NATO not advance eastward into Ukraine. That's all that he asked for. If you dare say that, you're pro-Putin. How am I pro-Putin? By espousing the truth. Yep, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. John 8:45, Jesus speaking. It's just like if you say somebody's innocent of rape because they weren't even in the country at the time of the rape. You're pro-rape? No! I'm telling you, that person's innocent. So Putin's, no, Putin's an authoritarian dictator. The same as Zelensky. It's a Slavic conflict. Let them do what they got to do. We don't belong in it, but you have to feed the military-industrial complex owned by BlackRock, which is going to own all of Southern California. I finally said it right instead of saying South Carolina. So Putin puts the deal out in 2021. And Jeffrey Sachs calls the White House. He ends up talking to, of course, Jake Sullivan, who was a part of orchestrating the 2014 color revolution to remove Yanukovych for Yatsenyuk. He says, no, we have an open door policy. Open door policy. We for NATO entrance. That goes against our promise. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, for whatever's more than these, from the evil one, Matthew 5:37, with Jesus speaking. So yeah, open door policy in the NATO, you guaranteed the Russians that you wouldn't have an open door policy, but now suddenly you do. So Zelensky is talked into turning this deal down, but then the invasion begins, and 5 days later, Zelensky goes, oh crap, I'll take it. And Biden couldn't have that, because now we're into early 2022. Biden couldn't have that. So, 2021 that it must have started, wasn't it? No, I get confused. But Aaron Feinholt started Ukraine War. Give me a date on it so I get it right. So some of you might know. Throw it in the chat. Hey to everybody in the chat, by the way. I forgot to say hey to everybody. Well, I got all fired up at the beginning and forgot. But anyway, so the invasion began 5 days later, and Zelensky concedes, and he's about to say, no, no problem. We won't be part of NATO. And what they do, dispatch, as you've heard me say a million times in the show, dispatch Boris Johnson and said, no, fight on, fight on. See if you give me a month. Because I want to make sure.
February 24th. Yeah,
okay, that's what I thought. So it was 3 years ago then.
Yep.
Okay, there we go. So I was right. So anyway, so 3 years later, all these casualties for what exactly? Ukraine's lost every battle. There's at that time, this is that Jeffrey Sachs video is probably from over a year ago. What, do they got a million casualties now? For what? A war they can never, ever win, but we keep telling them to fight on so we can dilapidate somehow the Russian military. Well, none of it. Why do you even need to dilapidate their military when everything's really all about intercontinental ballistic missiles anyway? Whether it's on subs or ships or anything else. All right, so moving on. So latest news on this. Oh, what is that video right there? Oh, okay, good. Here's John Kirby. Sorry. Richard video. Remember this. Pentagon bleeper, John Kirby, who was confronted with persistent journalist Matt Lee asking the right questions. Play it for me.
To look at this and say the reason that the Russian army is on NATO, the Russian army is at NATO's doorstep is because NATO has expanded rather than the Russians expanding? That, in other words, NATO has moved closer to Russia rather than Russia moving closer to NATO? Is that not an accurate way to look at this?
I think that's the way President Putin probably looks at it. It's certainly not the way that we look at it.
You don't think that NATO has expanded eastward toward Russia?
NATO has expanded. Okay. And the expansion has been a good thing for...
So the reason that the Russian army is at NATO's doorstep is not the fault of the Russian army, it's not the Russian army that's done it. It's NATO has moved closer to move east.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't NATO who was ordering, you know, upwards of 15 battalion tactical groups to within 10 kilometers of the border with Ukraine. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't NATO who put little green men inside Ukraine to destabilize eastern cities.
I'm pretty sure that Ukraine is not a member of NATO. So unless that's changed.
It's not changed. But I'm pretty sure the movement by Russia is
If NATO has moved east, the reason that the Russian army is closer or on NATO's doorstep is because NATO moved.
NATO is not an anti-Russia alliance. NATO is a security alliance.
For 50 years, it was an anti-Soviet alliance. So do you not understand how, or can you not even see how the Russians would perceive it as a threat? And the fact that it keeps getting closer to their border while their troops I mean, the places where their troops are, you say their troops are, and may have been in Ukraine and Georgia, are not NATO members.
I'm not going to pretend to know what goes in President Putin's mind or Russian military commanders. I barely got a history degree at the University of South Florida.
Now that right there is a man who lacks all human dignity, because what he does is spend his entire life with his hands firmly grasped around his ankles so that the Democratic Party can violate him. And that's all that he is. That's all John Kirby is. It doesn't matter that he wears a uniform. It doesn't matter, because that is what he is a Democratic Party whore. That's who John Kirby is. And you look at that excellent questioning by Matt Lee, who is no right winger, by the way. He's saying, basically, aren't you antagonizing Vladimir Putin to mass his troops on the Ukrainian border? And what does John Kirby do the Potomac two-step? And again, the ultimate example is, I don't believe that man raped that woman, because that man was not in the country at the time of the rape. So you're for rape. That's what they do. Deflection and conflation. That's what they do. So he's asking, you don't think it's because now they've added, Aaron and I added up the countries. Since Baker promised Gorbachev that NATO wouldn't move eastward, we've only added 11 countries to NATO. East. And when he's asked that, when Kirby is actually asked that question, don't you think that's what's instigating Vladimir Putin? Because that's obviously what it was, because they were enticing Ukraine to join NATO, which would put NATO on the border with Russia. When we don't allow anybody here, you think we'd allow a Russian base in Canada or Mexico? No, but it's all Putin's fault. Oh, there it is. There's the rapist thing. Oh, you're pro-Putin? No, I'm not pro-Putin. I'm also not pro Zelensky. It's not my battle. Thank you very much. If they're so concerned about it, let the European Union deal with it. If they're so concerned about it. Well, the same European Union where Germany is so anti-Russian that they buy almost all their fossil fuels from Russia. So anti-Russia. It's all a bunch of it's all a joke so they can funnel money through NGOs into the military industrial complex. But you see what Kirby does. So he's asked by Matt Lee, you don't think that it's us ever, NATO ever encroaching more towards Russia, violating our promises every single time for decades now, that has caused Vladimir Putin to mass his troops on the Ukrainian border? I don't think it was NATO that massed those troops. No kidding, moron. But it's your actions instigating the massing of the troops. I mean, these people are absolutely repugnant, repulsive human beings. That they really are. They're disgusting. All right, Larry video. Here's Trump now. Trump is pressing for the return of $350 billion from Ukraine. Play for me.
Would you support Zelensky ceding territory or exchanging territory in any agreement to end the war?
Well, he's going to have to do what he has to do, but, his poll numbers aren't particularly great, to put it mildly. He's got a country where, it's been savaged and attacked. And he's got an army that's been very, very brave, actually, despite the fact that, we've given him, in my opinion, $350 billion. That's what the real number is. You don't hear that number. And Europe has given, in my opinion, $100 billion. And they've done it in the form of a loan. And I have a Secretary of Treasury right now who's actually quite brave. He's over in Ukraine on a train. And there's a lot of things happening around that train that aren't so good. And he's going there to get a document done where we're going to be assured that we're going to, in some form, get this money back, because we're putting up far more money than Europe, and Europe is in far more danger than we are. We have an ocean in between. Europe has nothing in between. You know what they have in between? They have Ukraine in between. So wait a minute. So as you know, Europe...
Yeah, it's not us. It's the video going bad. But anyway, so Trump is pressing for the return of $350 billion in rare earth minerals. Go to the next one for me, Brent. John Basham tweet, deeper dive into this. Ukraine unelected dictator Zelensky rejects President of the United States Trump's plan for $500 billion in rare earth minerals from Ukraine to pay back. Isn't everything guaranteed loans? Isn't that what we've been hearing? We're loaning Ukraine all this money. Isn't that what we've been hearing? That was your chance for the payback. Why does nobody ever get paid back? It's like a Chinese loan to the Bidens that never gets paid back, which you've seen. For $500 billion rare earth minerals from Ukraine to pay back American taxpayers for continued military aid. Zelensky wants U.S. taxpayers to keep funding the foreign war without repaying ever. More from John Basham on this. President Zelensky of Ukraine has rejected a proposal from the Trump administration that would grant the U.S. ownership of 50% of Ukraine's rare earth minerals in exchange for continued military support, which I'm against. But anyway, the decision comes despite pressures and the strategic importance of these minerals. U.S. officials have suggested that such an agreement could offer Ukraine security shield, could offer Ukraine a security shield post-war while also providing U.S. access to critical minerals. All right, go to the next one, Brent. And then you have the response from the left. Here's the response from the left, call to activism. Idiotic account. Breaking, President Zelensky rejected an offer from Trump administration to relinquish half of the country's mineral resources in exchange for U.S. support, according to people with knowledge of the talks. I guess America only supports democracy for a price. How are you supporting democracy in a country that's not a democracy? No elections, no opposition media, no opposition parties, and no church, no Orthodox church allowed. That's the democracy that call to activism, a leftist bourgeois globalist account espouses. All right, go to the next one for me. Here's Zelensky. Now, look, he's actually speaking in English here. Adam Hughes video. Zelensky proposes a European army. This isn't like NWO, would it? Would it be? A proposed a European army with Ukraine at its core. His only hope to remain in power. Play it for me.
Have talked about Europe that needs its own military, an army of Europe.
All right, it's us. It's us. Am I sounding okay? I wonder if I'm sounding okay to everybody.
Yeah, no, you
all sound right,
good.
So it's us. We thought it was the video. It's us. So I'm going to read them. We're about to go off anyway, but Aaron will fix it for the next show. But so Zelensky is proposing a European army. Actually, Brent, you put on the next video for me. Just mute the audio. I'll narrate it. So Zelensky's proposing that there's a European, that make a European army to fight. So they're going to unify all of Europe to fight against Russia. How's Germany going to do that when they're receiving vast quantities of their oil reserves, vast quantities of their natural gas from Russia? I wonder how that's going to work. Now, I just showed you this. I'm sure. Go back to the beginning of that for me, Brent. So that's just, I wanted to show you all, look at who's meeting here. There's Cornyn, Lindsey Graham. Look at it. It's just so you know who's a real Republican, who's a real conservative, and who's not, who's a globalist leftist. There's Johnny, look at Johnny Cornyn taking Zelensky's picture. Hey, take that back 10 seconds, Brent. Take that back 10 seconds. Look at John Cornyn. I mean, take a look at John Cornyn. Look how impressed he is with Zelensky, the man who has imposed no opposition parties. No opposition media has canceled the elections in the Orthodox Church. And look at Johnny Cornyn, not a Texan, taking a picture of his God. It's to show you who people really are. All right, that's it. Good time, Dan, because the audio's busted anyway. Rumble rants. Aaron will fix it. Tons of them tonight. USA Abby Girl, $50. Thank you so much. Nate Dad won, $50. Texas Billy, $25. Single Malt Patriots, $20. Lita Bonita, $20. The Matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy L. Margaretter, $10. Order in the Court, $10. Gucci Buckeye, $10. Jules, 21 hours, $5. Thank you guys so much. Love you. Listen, you got to stick around for the post game. It is freaking awesome. All right, back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.